Good morning, everyone. Let's stand on up, if you will. Let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us into this place once again this week. For all who are here, you're not here by mistake. God has brought you to this place to share his word with you and to maybe even just to surround you with love and to let you know how much he cares about you. And so, Father, as we go ahead and worship you today, we just ask that you bring your Holy Spirit in a mighty and powerful way. Get us out of the way, and may people see just you, Jesus. And for that, we give you praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Clouds, kings lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Sing it out.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? The Lion of Judah, he's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
All right, for those who are joining with us, we are in the midst of a series called Stranger Think. It's based off of living right side up in an upside down world, and we've been talking about the Beatitudes, which is the prelude or the preamble to one of the greatest messages ever given, the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. We've been working through these things, but more importantly, we've been letting them work in through us, which is even harder, am I right? And so it's basically counterculture things. We're going to talk about hunger and thirst for righteousness and what that means. And people hunger and thirst for a lot of things. And so the title of the sermon is, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, so why not? That's where we're going to go. And if you hear, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this song was written by somebody who had faith, had money and everything, but still hadn't found what he's looking for. All right?
Thank you.
the devil in his one and three eyes. I was cold as a stone, but still I have found what I'm looking for. Kingdom come, and all the colors bleed into one, bleed into one. Yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame, of my shame. No, I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Somebody and tell them, hey, good to see you at church today, and for our kids, they can head to our Haven Kids.
Good morning. You guys are getting better every week. We're living right side up in an upside down world and trying. And, you know, stranger think, you know, it's a lot of going on out there. But I just am full of praises today. I want to also shout out to a few folks that are watching us online. I promised Bernie, because the heat is really hot, and she said she'd be watching me today online. So, Bernie, hey. Liz and a few others that are out there watching online, welcome. We love you. And we have a lot of new folks here today. Chris's family, I see you guys are back joining us. It's nice to see you again. And Dan and Suzette, I get a star, got that right. And there's a couple other new folks. I didn't catch your name, but welcome. And it's great to see you here at Haven. I am really excited, and of course I have to boast, my granddaughter's all-star team won in Massachusetts yesterday. They are playing today in 100-degree heat at 11:30, so keep them in prayer that they stay hydrated. And then after they win that, we'll hopefully go to the World Series down at the beach, so it's all good. I would like to give some traveling mercies. Some of our team will be going to a conference this week, so keep us in your hearts that we are doing well. I'll be in the car with my husband for over 13 hours. Where'd he go? He keeps saying I shouldn't say his name, Ron. We actually got a bigger car so we don't kill each other and there'll be some space. And if any of you travel with your spouse, you know exactly what I mean. Also, I just want all of us to praise God that that young man in that back row back there, John Wright, is with us today, and he's strong. He had a real incident this week, and we just praise him to high heaven that he does what he does for us and that he's here with us today. Thank you, John. I just have a couple little other things. I'm sure Jack and Jim is timing me back there. He told me I have 39 seconds. I don't know where 39 comes from. Vacation Bible School is coming. Get those kiddies signed up. It's amazing. Kate has just got it blown out of the park this year. We've had our first grief share kickoff. It was a big success and a lot of tears, but that's what grief share is for. And we're getting ready to start our 13-week seminar. It starts August 15th. And if you know anybody or yourself, you want to join us, just get signed up and be there, because it's a great way to share and work through the journey and not do it alone. Now I have another praise. Joe, July 19th, 1 year from his open heart surgery, and he is here, he's healed. And also on July 19th, his granddaughter was born, and her name is baby Laramar Eva. I know I botched that up really bad. But she's as cute as a button, and he's just so proud of her, and we're so proud he's here. So what a blessing to have her on his day of a surgery. Melinda, her husband John, had a surgery. It went well, and we need to continue prayers for his recovery and for his healing. And she had surgery to close the hole in her ear. Oh, you have it this Thursday. Thursday coming, so we're going to pray for her and healing on her surgery. Sue Campbell wants us to lift up her neighbor, Mark. His younger brother died suddenly yesterday at the age of 64. And his mother died less than a year ago. So let's keep them in prayer and pray that God just stays on their heart and gives them peace. Janet would like us to pray for a family member going through a very difficult time. We'll keep them in prayer. Lisa Bailey. And I did have to ask her because I read this wrong. Her friend Debbie needs to walk again. She's having trouble walking. I thought it said working, and I had to fix that. So she's struggling, so we're going to keep her in prayer that her legs will lift her up. And now we're going to put our hands on our knees, and we're just going to give it all to God, every bit of it. Not the neighbor sitting beside you, not your spouse, not your uncle, not your aunts, not your kids. Give it to God. Tell him what's on your heart today that you want to give to him and have him repair and heal and take care of. And I see some smiles out there, so I know there's some things that need healing. And now I want you to lift your hands up to God and receive it. He's going to give it to you. God will answer those questions. He will answer your desires. He's a good God. He's full of grace. And it all works out. It may not work out on our timeline, but it will work out on his, one day at a time. So let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful, hot, sunny day. And yes, I would prefer a cold, rainy day, but I'll take it. Be with this Haven family. When I look out here and see the joy and the smiles and the happiness, I am just lifted up to you. And I lift all of these people up to you. And I know there's some that are hurting, healing, and they've suffered loss. Be with them, touch their hearts, let their hearts heal. And Jesus, be with Jack today as he brings us the Holy Spirit as we're living in that upside down world and we're seeking to find the righteousness and to do the right things at all times. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now for our video.
Look at that! That's amazing!
Uh-huh.
Whoa! Look over there! Have you guys seen anything as massive as that?
Great!
Those cliffs are huge! I've never seen anything like it!
Yeah.
Well, we're here! Looks like everyone else just got here too!
It's time to look up! There's more to life than what's on your screen.
Off-road on the adventure of a lifetime and experience the greatness of God's love. Explore colorful canyons of the Southwest from a rock-solid faith and discover that God is monumental.
Right, so lots of good things going on there that you see. And in front of you, you saw the thing about the church app. In front of you, unless you're in the front row, there is a little QR code there that you can get the church app, get connected, and then you can have all kinds of information and sign up. Again, Vacation Bible School, if you know somebody who's in your community or somebody who's just whatever, you can go ahead. I think I did see some cards out there. You can take them with them. Hand them out. We'd love to get as many here, and I know that Kate and her team have really done an awesome job. How y'all doing? Nobody melted, I see. In this heat, we're never satisfied, are we? In the winter, we'll be complaining, wish it was hot, and all that good stuff again. But it is good to see everybody here today. Welcome if you're visiting today. Again, we always just say that, and I said it earlier, that we believe that God brought you here for a reason, and so we just want you to relax and have a good time. Right up there was our QR code that you saw for digital. If you like something digital, like a lot of people like everything digital, that is, it was just up there, I saw it, a digital thing for your bulletin if you want to follow that, or if you have a paper one, that's cool too, and we just want you to relax and have a good time, okay? And hear what God has for us. We are in week 4 of our series on the Beatitudes. It is a 9-part series, so next week we'll be, middle of the week, I guess we'll be halfway through if I know my math right, but we're kind of getting through this, and it's 9 weeks. Some people will say there are 8 Beatitudes, but the last one seems to be like 2 to me, so we are going to go ahead and talk about them, because I believe there's 9 principles that Jesus gives us in this famous preamble or prelude prologue before the rest of one of the most powerful sermons that ever existed, if not the one, the Sermon on the Mount. And
The last couple weeks, first we started with Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit, and that was our very first week. We unpacked some of that. If you missed any of these, you can go ahead. Again, you can get the church app, and it'll connect you to those things, or you can go ahead to havencc.org and see those. Second week was Blessed Those Who Are Mourn, and the way the Phillies have started out the second half of the season, I thought I'd go back and do that again, because that's where I am. And then last week we dealt with the power of meekness. Remember about how being meek is actually a powerful thing. How many of you have anything to be meek about this week? Anybody? Isn't it great how God gives you those reasons to be meek, and that's how things work out. So today, I hope this beatitude really speaks to you in a great way, and I think it does. It seems to relate to many of us, and it's simply this one. It says, blessed, and when we talk about blessed, remember, it is the word makarios in Greek, which the New Testament is written in, and it's a problem for translators, because some translators will put it as happy. Happy are those, and in one translation you may see, happy are those who this. However, the problem for us is happiness kind of is fleeting. It comes and it goes. So it's more than that. And blessed we put to like, oh, you have things taken care of, or there's some, it's just you got, oh, something good happened to somebody, oh, you're so blessed. And it's not that either, so it's kind of a both and, but it's really like this internal fulfillment, this complete utter fulfillment that nothing in the world can give to you. Regardless of circumstances, you are blessed. And that's what the word makarios means. In this case, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Anybody ever gotten really hungry? Anybody this week got really thirsty? Or some other time? So when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, so it's having a craving or an appetite thirst again for righteousness. Now we'll unpack righteousness toward the end of the message, but what happens if they're blessed? And each one of these things has a situation. You're blessed if, and then there's a then. This is the promise. This is the inheritance that you have. Last week, the meek will inherit the earth, and we talked about that. And so there's always this, you're blessed if, boom, you live right side up, hunger and thirst for righteousness in an upside down world that hungers and thirsts for everything else. And if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, then you will be filled. And so what we're going to spend time today talking about is how most of us spend so much time hungering and thirsting for everything else in this world, and we're left empty. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Sound like a plan? Hope so, because you came and that's what I got. And that's what we're going with. So I really felt also that in this, that the Holy Spirit really wants us to focus a lot on the filled section of this, the filled. And we can also, some others will translate that satisfied. But since we're talking about hunger and thirst, I figure that's a good thing. I like the version of filled. So let's take a look at this. I'd like to give you some other different versions to show you how others translate it. I'm thirsting for water right now. But in the Living Bible, it says, happy are those who long to be just and good, for they will be, here we go, completely satisfied. If you go to the New Century Version, it says, those who want to do right more than anything else are happy, that's a blessed, are happy because God will fully satisfy them. So you see that nature that's here. And so this message today is especially geared for those who have been in this life and are not fully satisfied. Much like in the song, and we'll talk about that, tried everything, had everything, and still not fully satisfied. So basically, you may have been just doing life, living life, and you've been pursuing a lot of things, and you still come up empty. If I just get that job, if I just get this degree, if I just have this family, if I go ahead and just have this relationship, then I will be satisfied. And what do we find out? When we get there, there's always something more, and we want something more. Again, marketing and advertising has led us, I was an undergraduate journalism, so I understand marketing and advertising. That has driven us on that concept for years. Remember when old Tide took out everything, like in the 70s? Did you remember that? And then we had to have new improved Tide because old Tide didn't work somehow. Grass stains got worse. I don't know how that happened, but oh, I'm not buying old Tide. I need new Tide. The one thing that never worked was new Coke. Remember that? Those of you guys, it was like that bad campaign. So we have that. So Jesus uses this metaphor of hunger and thirst to really get this across. And I love this metaphor because I really enjoy food, if you can't tell. I love food. They call it foodies now. How many foodies do we have out here? How many people like food? I mean, like food. Food is it's awesome. And that's one of the great things about heaven. There's a heavenly banquet table, and there's no weight loss program or gym there afterwards because my body is perfected. I love it. Don't you? Anybody excited about that? I am. I never have to get on the treadmill after I leave this world. Hallelujah. You know, like, have you ever just, like, you're just really hungry for something, and you're not quite sure what you're hungry for, but you're just hungry. You know, like, you might even get in the car. We did this last weekend. We got everybody in the car, like, what do you want to eat? Everybody's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you want? You want this? I don't think so. And I'm like, well, what do you want? Because I'm driving, and it annoys me, all right? But I don't know either, so I want them to do. I'll eat anything, you know, and then I go get the same burger or whatever else. But if you're ever really, really hungry, you're sitting at home, and you're really, really hungry, how many of you have ever done this? You get off the couch, you go up, you open the refrigerator, and you stand. You go to the cabinet, and you go, you go back to the refrigerator. Ooh, that's got hair on it, you know? I mean, you know what I mean? How many of you do that? How many have ever stood at the refrigerator, and if your power was out last week, you got yelled at because you held it open for more than 10 seconds? So that happens a lot of times. You stand there, and there's so many options, but you don't like any of them. And then you're like, nah, I have to cook that. You know, by meaning we put it in the microwave and go boop, 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 you know? Or how many of you have ever been to the Cheesecake Factory, where you got to look through that 95-page menu, and you're so hungry? You know, I came here because I want cheesecake, but there's like 85 versions of that. And my gosh, on page 45, index down here, you can get like those wonton things, which are sinful, right? They really are. But I mean, it is like the biggest menu I have ever seen in my life. And you're looking at them all, and they all look good, and none of them look good at the same time. I know, I don't want that. Oh, wait. And you go back and forth and back and forth. And it's just a great picture of what Jesus says, that we hunger and thirst for something that just doesn't fill. When I was looking at this message today and just thinking about it, back in 1987, the Irish band U2, with the lead singer Bono, released their Joshua Tree album. How many remember when that came out? How many went to that concert? All right. In JFK in Philly, wasn't that what it was? I was in that one, which is no longer there. That's how you know you're old, when you outlive stadiums, just to let you know. So the song that we just sang, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, was kind of like a throw-in that they did in their album, and they were working through it. And I found some stuff about it, which I thought was really interesting, because during this time in the Christian faith in Ireland, you had a lot of conflicts between Protestants and Catholics, to the point where they had people who would blow each other up over being Protestant or Catholic. And that was going on. And Bono grew up in this kind of time. And during the preparation for Joshua Tree, this album, the album's co-producer really kind of pushed Bono into looking at some things. And at the same time, Bono had this deep kind of connected faith. He classified himself as a saved Christian, but was seeing all this kind of stuff going in Ireland and things that he had. And so he had said that they liked gospel music. They started to get into some gospel music, and the co-producer really liked it and started putting an influence on them and had them listen to more and more gospel music. And originally the song kind of had like a kind of Jamaican reggae beat. And then they started listening to some more of the gospel music. And Edge, who was the bass player in the group, said, "We were listening to some gospel during the Joshua Tree sessions, and I remember the Mighty Clouds and the Reverend Cleveland and the Staples Singers." Anybody remember some of those back in the day? And he said, "The original was more loose, almost Jamaican, and Bono hit on the melody and had the title in his notebook. He had kind of put that down, and he had been writing about this because he said there was so much around him, and he had lived everything in life: wine, women, songs, parties." Now he came to this point, had money, and he had a faith commitment, but he saw the religion falling apart, and all that stuff just wasn't filling. I mean, even to the point you can see in the song that he talks about these things. And it just hit, and they said it immediately gelled. And it became this iconic song that has... so many people know time and time again. Now, when you look at this, it's really interesting because I checked this out. The band U2 has a net worth of $1.8 billion. Bono's net worth himself is $800 million, which is his net worth. And yet, Bono is one of the most philanthropic people in the entire world. And yet... His monthly salary or income is $5 million plus, I guess, depending on how iTunes sales are. And nobody liked when they put the free U2 album on there, right? Anybody remember those days? And his yearly income or salary is $66 million plus. I could do some stuff with that. What about you? You know? But still, he still gets involved in philanthropic things. He still has major discussions on life because all those things he has, and I think he has a moral authority to say, you know, we're all searching for something and in a lot of ways, and I think he has a way to say, I know there's many of you out there that have put your stuff in this world, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for in each and every area of life. But because we all end up thinking this will satisfy and we end up in another place looking for something else. That will fill that void that we have in here. All of us are in the pursuit of satisfaction. God is saying to us, I've got a solution. If you're looking for a meal to fill you up and you never want to eat again, I got it for you. And so if you ever pursued something hard and you're not totally satisfied with what you've been pursuing and your life is just unfulfilled or unfilled at all, hear what Jesus is saying to you today. So on this topic, when I started thinking about this, there's a lot of people I could have gone to, but I kind of went to one person, and he's known as Solomon in the Bible, King Solomon. And he was the son of King David, you know, David and Goliath fame. He was now the king of Israel. He was the wealthiest man in the world at the biblical times. The queen of Sheba came and marveled at his wealth and his wisdom. Even God said he was the wisest man ever. Somebody said that's why he had 300 wives, and they helped make him wise. Others said he had 300 wives because in the hopes that one would be in a good mood. But I didn't say that, but I heard that. But he wrote the Proverbs, which anybody, we look at Proverbs as those things that help us. But he wrote probably the most miserable book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. And it's really miserable. It's depressing. In 12 chapters, we see the journey of a guy, his name's Solomon, who literally has tried every food in the refrigerator. He's tried everything that exists in the world, and none of it filled him up. None of it. And so he tries, in this section, he tries education and knowledge. And he says, you know, if I get all of my degrees, maybe if I get my bachelor's, maybe if I get a master's, I'll get a PhD, I'll do all that stuff. If I get a bunch of certificates to put on my wall, then I'll be happy. And yet in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I got a lot of scripture today to show you this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he says, but with much wisdom comes much sorrow. What in the world does that mean? You know what I found out in life? When you get wisdom, you tend to lose innocence. I remember when my kids were younger, and I had to teach them about being safe and secure in this world. And up until that point, they didn't know that there was anything to be afraid from. But when I gave them wisdom about the evils that exist in this world, it increased wisdom, but it also brought a lot of sorrow. And so you have that. How many people have heard somebody say, I don't even turn on the news anymore? You know why? Because you get some wisdom, maybe, and you'll get a lot of sorrow, definitely, by looking at that, all right? So the more knowledge, the more grief. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says this, of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. How many college students we have? How many people have been students and understand that, you know? I remember no sleep at all, and remember that old soda Jolt that had three times the caffeine you tried every day? Anybody try Jolt? I mean, obviously you guys hadn't today. You'd be sitting there like, yeah, I have, you know? But Jolt was supposed to make you like, you know, now it's replaced by energy drinks, correct? Those kind of things, monsters and those things. So, you know, we had that section. There is some of that. And that's where many of you may be at. Say, I'm trying wisdom, and then I'll be happy. Or in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, this next chapter in here, he says, well, maybe I just need a good job or a better job. Maybe I need a nice car. He didn't say car because they didn't have cars, but you roll with me here. He said, maybe I need to set some higher goals. I need some achievements. I need to enjoy a great vacation. That's what it does. If I go see things, then I'll be better. And I'll do this experiencing. And then he gets to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. And what does he say here? I denied myself nothing. Solomon's got all money. He's got everything at his... Well, there was nothing in the known world that he could not have provided for himself. He said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. If it was there to eat, if it was there to get, I tried it. If it was there to drink, I drank it. If it was there to eat, I ate it. If it was there to see, I looked at it. That's what he's saying. He has everything there. And look what he says. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor. I thought, man, if I join my career, that'll be it. And he said, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Didn't fill me up. I ate, but it didn't fill me up. It just didn't fill me up. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He had everything at his disposal. Went after everything. And when he got there, he was still left there. Like this. So he decided, you know what? Maybe work's not enough. A career's not enough. So maybe I just need to work harder. Or maybe I just need to go all the way to the top of the corporation. Or maybe I just need to be one of those people who doesn't just pay bills with a good job. And maybe I need to be master of my own universe, my own boss. I need to be the Elon Musk of biblical times and own everything. So he became a workaholic. He said, and then he got to the place in Ecclesiastes where he talks about how much he dreaded Monday morning, just getting up, that alarm clock, and the life that he was living. He says this, he said, and he's kind of like, I can't believe it's time to work again. Oh, gosh, the weekend's over already? He said this, so I hated life. I hated life. Why? Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. Everything that he thought was going to make him happy became the bane of his existence. It was grievous to him. Anybody relate to that? That you chased after something so hard and you got it, and then you're like, time to make the donuts. Remember that? All of it is meaningless. All of it's meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to one who comes after me. Because guess what? Ain't none of us taking any of it with us. I was talking with some people this week, and we were just kind of like in this, you know, waxing philosophically phase. I think it was at the gym, and we were talking. And I just kind of thought, I said, you know what? We're all just kind of leasing everything. Like, for instance, one day, there'll be somebody else that lives in my house. If it doesn't break down, there'll be somebody else driving my car. I've got bags that I remember many of them buying them at the time that now I take, and then somebody else will be wearing those clothes or using them as a rag somewhere. Every single thing I have in my life will either go to somebody else to use or will go to the landfill to be destroyed or to something to be recycled. I'm not taking any of it with me. And you say, well, Jack, you know, when you die, we'll put some things in there. Yeah, it stays there. I don't show up in heaven and like, oh, I got my Apple Watch. Woo! You know, it doesn't work that way in life. We're just leasing everything through life here and there. So bottom line is this, and here's your happy thought for the day, if you came to church to be happy. You're going to die and somebody else is going to enjoy everything that you created. Right? You're going to die and that, you know, if you did well enough, all that stuff that you just laid up at the end for to live a good retirement life, if you get to live any of it, guess what? You're going to leave it to your kids or somebody else, right? And if not that, then maybe say, okay, well, what about investing and I'll make more money. Maybe if it's not this stuff, I'll make more money and maybe I need to spend it. I need to have the finest boat, the finest lake house, the finest car, the finest things. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Solomon said, I did that. And he said, here's what he figured out. He said, it's never enough. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied. He said, I tried to eat that meal and I tried to drink that. And you know what? It just didn't do it for me. He said, this too is meaningless. As goods increased, what does he say? I got to insure it. I got to paint it. I got to protect it. I got to put a camera on it. You ever seen a house that hadn't been lived in a while? It crumbles down. So he says, as it increased, so do those who consume them. So what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on it? Like artwork. There's this one thing, there's a series, his last name was Koenig, and he did this series called Woman. I don't know if anybody's, and there's like seven of them. And like one was like, I used to show it when I taught philosophy, and I'd say, how much would you give this to me? And it would be on a screen, and I'd say, you know, either my kids drew it, or some kind of other part of artwork. And some people are like, I won't give you a dollar. Some people are like, I'll give you $100. This thing was like $5.7 million it sold for to put on a wall and go like this. Yeah. You know, and every once in a while, I love those stories where you have somebody who had like a Monet or something that was in their garage and or it was on their grandmother's wall for years. And people are like, oh, what's that ugly thing? And they sold it at a yard sale for like $5. Or like 50 cents, even better, and somebody has it tested, and it's like multi-millions of dollars. I find that very humorous. But, you know, a lot of times we just spend so much to just hang something on the wall. I found this sheet of 24 ridiculous, I'm not going through all of them, I don't think, 24 ridiculously expensive everyday items. Anybody have a doorstop in your house? Well, if you want a concrete Alto doorstop, you can pay $3,500 for it. Cinder block works for me, you know what I mean? Anybody have a box cutter? Anybody have this? It's another notion of possibility, that's the name of the company, that has a solid nickel chrome plated box cutter for $95. I'm like at Walmart saying $6, where's the $3 one? That's where I am, you know? You can get some Posh instant noodles for $43. I think, yeah, right. Who doesn't need this? Renova colored toilet paper for $20. Who thinks we need colored toilet paper? I mean, not me. Glazed balls of ice. Did you buy them? Little $40. A golden backpack. Who doesn't want a golden backpack? I mean, like, I really take care of my backpack with all the crap that I put in there. It's only $1,650. A diamond encrusted Bluetooth headset. For $50,000. It's just hanging on your ear. I lost my Bluetooth stuff. I need to track it all day, you know. If it was $50,000, I mean, I'd have to chain it to my body. Who doesn't need gold-plated staples? Only $175. A golden light switch, $250. A luxury Frisbee. Anybody have a dog that likes Frisbees? Fair is going on. I always like to go to the fair because you get the free Frisbees and I take them home, give them to my dogs to chew up, you know. Luxury Frisbee, only $305. A Tiffany tennis ball can for $1,500. Who doesn't need a Louis Vuitton $8,250 skateboard? And it just goes on and on. I mean, this one right here. This can go along with your multicolored toilet paper. How about a carbon fiber toilet seat for $249? Man, I tell you. A crystal something vacuum, $18,993. I just like the things that go zzzz and clean for me, you know. And that's going to be doing dirt. And it goes on and on. And who doesn't, you know, we had a lot of rain this year. And I'm this one, a lot of rain. You too can get a crocodile skin umbrella for $50,000. There you go. What do you think about that? Anybody want to buy? I'll be selling them afterwards. I'll find a way to get them. Probably get them in China for $20,000. You know, who knows? But what I'm saying is, it's just here. We hoard up so much stuff. And then on top of that, Solomon decides, hey, I'm going to hoard up popularity. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be popular. And he becomes king, and he has servants around him, and he has a court, and he's never alone. Everyone's looking after his needs, but at the same time, with people everywhere, he wasn't alone, but he felt lonely because I'm not satisfied. And he says this about himself in Ecclesiastes 4. He says, there was a man all alone. Why was he alone? Because he neither had son nor brother. He didn't have people that were those people he could go to, those best friends in his life. He didn't have people he could trust. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. After chapter 5, he gets into wine, women, and song, and it's all about partying. And that's where he says he had, in 1 Kings 11, we learn that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So he had women all around him. And if we skip to the end of the chapter and we skip to the end of our lives, how it's going to play out, because it's going to happen at some point. It's at the end of a search for everything. Here's where he comes to in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14, this is the Message version. Now remember, for 11 chapters, he's mostly coming up empty in everything he's tried. And then he says this, the last and final word is this. Fear God, do what he tells you, and that's it. Fear God doesn't mean like, oh, I'm scared of God. A lot of people think God's mad all the time. It's a mad God philosophy, and that's not what it's about. Because we know that the wrath of God has been satisfied by the blood of Jesus. It's the scripture. Fear in this case means to revere or to honor God. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is actually quoting from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. This is when he's tempted by the devil, and he has three temptations, and each of those he responds with scripture. And one of them, it starts with fear God, and he replaces fear with worship God. It's not being afraid of God. It's a deep respect and honor for God. And it means that you actually want to approach God, not to avoid him, but you have this reverence for God. So fear God by loving him and honoring him and getting as close to him as you can. Because he's an awesome God. And when you get there, do what he says is what Solomon is telling us. So many people are trying to love God and try to know him and say, I confess him, I'm a Christian. And Solomon says, I love him and fear him and I want to do what he says. But he then continues and he says, eventually God will bring everything that we do. I don't like this verse. Anybody like this verse? Eventually God will bring everything that we do. That's everything that we do. Out into the open. Anybody happy with that one at all? I'm going to be sick in heaven when they're going through that guy. Sick day. He says, heaven, nobody's sick. Into the open and judge it according to its hidden content, whether it's good or evil. Now, I'm really excited that we have Jesus, who through him, there is no story. He erases the tape through him. I'm really glad about that. So if you don't want to see your life story and the secret things, get really close to Jesus. Otherwise, I'm going to get popcorn and watch you guys, you know what I mean? And say, that's a good show. And so, because we don't have to face the judgment because Jesus bore my sin. And that's, I'm really, really excited about that and thrilled. And for those who don't, I'm going to enjoy the show. So we're going to stand before him. We are going to stand before God. And he's going to judge in that way. Solomon is saying, if you're searching and if you still haven't found what you're looking for, then what I want to say is today, we're going to have an opportunity to fear and worship God and get close to him and to live the life that he's always intended for you and find out what is right. You either find out today what is the right way or you find out later when it's too late. I love this quote by St. Augustine, which says, thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till we find rest in thee. God created us for him, for fellowship, for communion, for connection, for an intimate relationship. And we're basically trying to fill the intention that we were brought into creation for with everything else that this world has to offer. So what would it look like if you actually had a hunger and thirst? That you're at the refrigerator door of life, and you're looking for the thing that will be the best meal you ever ate. And Jesus says it's one thing. He says it's righteousness. It's righteousness. In Proverbs, again, Solomon, 21:21, it says, whoever pursues righteousness and love will find life, prosperity, and honor. So why don't we? Why don't we? What keeps us from getting all that God has for us? And most of the time, I really don't ask for God to grow a church. I ask most of the time for God to grow me and everyone else. Just go ahead and grow in me. And that, God, I know you have something for me. And probably one of the most frustrating things is I know at times from people over 27 years is that I know God has something good for them, something that could fully satisfy them. I do it for myself as well. But so many people still don't want to choose it and take it. And they settle for just a piece of God. You know, like when they bring the cake out at dessert, you really want to eat half of it. Are you with me? You like, I want it big, raw, right? But you go, I'll just take a little piece of it. And you ever just take a little piece of something before you know it, you've eaten half the cake? Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time. God would love for us to take all that he has for us. And, you know, I got to say, we settle for a piece of God, and I'm going to say this, and it saddens me. It's especially true that we settle for a piece of God where God is most available in the church. If you grew up in the church, you're kind of used to church. You know what to expect. For instance, if I say, I want to talk to you about a passage from John 11, you're like, that's Lazarus. I know that. I know Lazarus. Yeah, Lazarus come forth. Yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Got it. If I mention a biblical character, I say Zacchaeus, and right now you go to Sunday school, talk, was a wee little man, and you're going to that, right? How many of you, before I even said that, you were singing, was a wee little man? There you go. That's the power of Sunday school and that earworm we talked about a couple weeks ago. If I said Abraham, Father Abraham, you're doing that thing already, remember? Anybody remember that? People are like, what is he doing? Sunday school, we do this, right? Arm left, arm, turn around, sit down, you know? And we did those things. So we go there, and we're just like, yeah, I got Father Abraham, been there, bought the T-shirt, got it. You know, hey, we're all good. I got Father Abraham. And you can't tell me anything I have heard before. And I got to tell you, one of the most difficult things in what I do in life is talk to people who are Christians who know it all. And you know what's even more amazing is I've been able to journey with people who became Christians who knew nothing and were so hungry and thirsty for what God had for them. And then after several years, they reached a point where they knew it all and they could tell everybody else. I have been a Christian since I was 5 years old. I have been a pastor for 27 years. And the longer and the older I get, the less I realize I really know about God. You know, and when I don't know, then it makes me more hungry for him. To get more and more. You know, if I go to a smorgasbord and go, yeah, I've had that meatloaf before. I know what potatoes taste like. Forget them green beans thing. I say that, then I'm going to be hungry if I already know how it's done. So I say, oh, try this. You're like, nah, I've already had those before. If we're just satisfied with yesterday's food, then we're never going to get nourished today. And so we've got to have a hunger for that. And, you know, so what does it mean? What are we doing? So what we're going to do here in the time, don't get nervous. I said I got a lot of scriptures, a couple blanks, and we're moving through this. I want to give you two things that keep you from being hungry for God. And then I want to show you two ways that you can pursue righteousness and get all of God. All right? So what do we do when we talk about hungering and thirsting for righteousness? One thing that I think that keeps us away from the dinner table of God is this. We fill up on the wrong things. We fill up on the wrong things. You already ate. And even though there's a great meal there, you've already eaten and you're filled up. You ate something that's not gonna satisfy you, but you're filled up temporarily. Like this. Maybe you're driving home. You've been away or you're driving home from work and you're not sure if anybody's home and whether there's a cooked meal or anything. And you think, well, maybe, you know, I'm here filling up on gas and you're seeing that little screen that's throwing all that stuff there. And you say, let me see. I'm at Wawa and it is Hoagie Fest. So I'm going to order me an Italian sub. And I'm going to go eat some of the more wonderful food in there. I'm going to grab me a bag of chips. Oh, let me have those pizza flavored combos. Oh, no, buffalo flavored combos. You know, you get them. Then you're going to grab several Slim Jims because they're little and you think, oh, it looks healthy and it's not. Then you go ahead and say candy bars and then you get like the Reese's cups and now they have all kinds of different things. And some of you think Reese's cups should be their own food group. And you like Twix. I like Twix. I hate the whole right and left thing. I don't care where they're coming from. Just give them to me and eat them. Or you want some Ben and Jerry's ice cream that's in there. Or, you know, like one of those Snickers ice cream bars that just melts just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You eat that, you eat a couple of them on the way home, and you say, oh, you're standing in line, you're like, ooh, soft pretzel with cream cheese, that sounds good. You grab that. Oh, two for a dollar, what? Okay, I'll grab them soft pretzels here. They're not like on the street in Philadelphia where they're a rock, you know, I'll go ahead and take them. And so you're a little sleepy because it's been a day. I'll grab two monsters and throw out there, and I'll have them. So you're like, you're riding home, and you care about your health a lot, so you get a Diet Coke with that too. You know what I mean? I love that. People get like the most disgusting food. I'll throw in a Diet Coke. I'm like, go all in, you know? So you have that, and so you load up, and you're stuffing your face all the way home. You got Ben and Jerry's ice cream, all, chubby hubby all over your face, you got lettuce in your lap from the sub that you ate too, because it's never nice and neat. You guys are laughing because you know you do this. You got a shorty, so because, you know, it's really cheap. And you got that. So you pull up and you walk in the house, and your spouse or your mom or somebody else, you walk in the house and you smell. It's your favorite meal. And you know if you don't eat something, you're in trouble. So you go in, but you already ate. You want it. It smells good, but you already ate. And so here's a perfectly good, nutritious, your favorite meal, something that sticks with you in a good way for a long time. But you're already filled up for that moment. That's why your mom used to say, now don't eat. Dinner's almost ready. You know how like when somebody's cooking and then you end up in like the pantry and you're like, and then put that back. You don't know we're about ready. Go, get, right? You do that. And you're gonna spoil your dinner. You're like, no, I'm going to eat this, and it's going to spoil me. We're in those points. Or like when you go out to eat, I think all the restaurants in the area should tithe after the sermon to the church because we're talking about food. But like when they bring that warm bread out at the beginning, and you're like on your fifth or sixth slice of buttering it up, or you got them breadsticks, never-ending breadsticks that you just wish you could never-ending put in your mouth, you know, and by the time the meal comes, you're like, I need a box, I gotta go home. Am I right? You know what I mean here? So that's kind of what we do. And if you think about it, your life and my life, that we filled up on things that haven't filled us up. They've temporarily filled that. What's your list? If you're gonna write your Ecclesiastes, what would yours look like? All that sin and other things that take us away from what God has and tastes good, but it never fully satisfies. In Hebrews chapter 11, talking about Moses, it says Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. One translation says, instead of enjoying sin that only lasts for a short season. Instead of enjoying that meal that tastes good at that secondary. Sin tastes good. And it only lasts for that little bit and leaves you empty. In Isaiah 55, it says, I love this verse. And the Lord says, all of you who are thirsty, all of you who have searched and tried it all, come and drink. To those of you who don't have money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And look at this verse. Why do you spend your money on something that is not real food? Why do you spend your efforts and your life on something that's not real? Why do you work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? And listen to what the Lord says. Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. Your soul will enjoy the rich food that satisfies. That verse reminds me of like when I eat, like most of my life I eat junk food, but I love Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? When Thanksgiving comes up, that is just like, yes, I love it. So the thought for today, it's time for a different meal. It's time for a different meal. It's just time. So maybe you're not filling up on the wrong things. Maybe you're not. So why would somewhere, maybe you're just not making a conscious choice not to take what God is offering. So why would you do that? Well, I believe this. Because many people have not experienced the goodness of God and don't know how good he is. It's like a food that somebody's tried to get you to eat for years, and you're like, no thanks. Guacamole. How many like guacamole? How many are never going to touch guacamole? All right. Yeah, I was like that for years. Like, I saw that green thing on the plate. I'm like, it's got to be bad. You know, It comes from like some lumpy thing. No thanks. And then, you know, one time they bring out the chips. I'm like, the chips are good by themselves. I'll get some stuff over here. But then one time I had guacamole and I was like, before I know it, I'm eating the whole thing. You know, I like want to put my hand in and go, ah, you know, because it's good. And then I started making it. Like, yeah, more garlic. Yeah, real garlic. Mmm, chop this up. Yeah. And before I know it, I'm like, I'm putting it on everything. Peanut butter and jelly, guacamole, you know, whatever. It's just that good. It's just good. And you got like, we don't have any bread. We got crackers, you know, whatever you got. And it's just really, really good. And it's so amazing. And you eat so much that you feel you're going to be sick on it. Some of us have rejected the things that God has. Like, no thanks. I'm all right. I'm good. Baptism, I know baptism. I've heard about baptism. Yeah, I know about it. You know, and it was done to me as a baby, and it was just meaningless. I don't remember it, but if it's okay for you, and I'll pass. Or we do that with so many things, but, you know, bottom line is this. You know, you just don't know how good the Lord is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Why don't you try and just jump in on this? You're like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to join Grief Share. I'm not going to join. I don't have any time for small groups, praise team, or church studies or anything. Nah, I barely have enough time in my life to get to church on Sunday. And if that's what you're saying, then maybe you're filling yourself with other things and you're so full. Besides, people don't need to know what I'm going through. It's all right. But I will tell you, there's a part of growth that you'll never experience if you're always filled up with something else. In Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You have no idea what you're missing. I am so glad that somebody convinced me, or actually I convinced myself to try guacamole. It's amazing. And I have a lot of other things in my life. I will say another thing is some have rejected God and the things of God because of the way God's people served the food. You blame God because somebody else didn't know how to prepare it. You got to a place where they were abusive, where they mistreated you, where they're talking about the love of Christ and there's nothing that's there, where they judge you and everything else. And you're like, I hate church. And guess what? I hate that church too. And guess what's even more important? God does too. Because it ain't him. You know, it's like if you ever go to a place, like I love pizza. And, I used to get excited when they give you like those generic versions of Elio's pizza on at school. Oh, it's pizza day. And I mean, it's like crap, but I'm like, it's pizza. And then I've been someplace like, oh, try this pizza. And I'm like, you call this pizza? I didn't throw all the pizza out because somebody didn't know how to prepare it. So why throw God out? Because somebody has their own way of how they prepare and give to you what God has. Don't eat at that place anymore. Find a place where God says, hey, here's my 5-star restaurant. All right? So we do that. So you ever eat anything that's spoiled or rotten by mistake? Hopefully not. That's what you do. But like a bad oyster. I mean, I don't want to eat them anyway, but like a bad one, you know. You don't want it again. And for many, we've rejected God's cooking that way. The church has the finest food if we prepare it right, but instead we settle for hot dogs and fast food. Paul says it this way in Ephesians. Paul said, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, in other words, so that you could understand how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be what? Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I just wish you know. I wish you would just taste it. Stop saying that, that's okay. Go all in with God. Far too often, we justify that's for somebody else. It says, you know, hey, that's that way. But God, you know, God changes lives time and time again. So, as I think that's why we don't really sit at the table. So let me tell you how you can. Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is not one thing, it's two things. Righteousness is number one, right standing with God. Right standing with God. To be made right is to have right standing, have a right relationship with God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the good news shows how God makes people right with himself. In Romans chapter 3, 25, it says, we are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. And some of us are going to get that chance today. I'm actually going to say it this way. Jesus paid for your sins. Do you want to be made right? It's not an invitation to join Haven Church. That's as its place. But it's an invitation to feel right and know that you're right with God. And that even though you've done wrong, that Jesus paid for it and you can have a clean conscience. Romans chapter 5. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, notice not by anything else, but by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from condemnation. For since our friendship with God, isn't that cool? It's not only he's my Lord, but he's my friend. Friendship with God was restored by the death of his son. While we were yet still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in a wonderful new what? Relationship, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. It is relationship. It is relationship. What Bono's issue was is he started with a relationship but ended up with a religion. And until we recognize that I'm a friend of God and it's a relationship change, until we experience that, you never have really experienced the power of Christianity. When you're in the presence of your best friend, you can just be you. And you can feel as comfortable as you are. We need to stop looking for religion and start looking to relationship. People will say, are you religious? I say, no. But I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just right standing, but the second thing is righteousness is right living on earth. Some people say, well, I tried that, but I'm still not satisfied. Because you're living life your way. You know, the Christian relationship is not about Burger King, having it your way. You know, I've talked to people before, say, hey, I'm living my truth. How's that working for you? Because there is one truth. That's when we end up being the prodigal son and we go away and we live our own lives. And next thing we know, we're in the pig pen one day. And the hope is that one day we will come to our senses and say, I'm going back to my father. And I'm going to do it his way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears right, but in the end leads to death. Many of us look at physical death, but what about a death of your emotions, death of your dreams, death of everything that matters to you? It won't work long term. So what do? We have right living on earth by pursuing a lifestyle that God intends. It's in the Bible. And it's, as the people of God, the church, we can't just move where the rest of the world is moving. Some people say, well, Jack, are you trying to change me? Yes. Because I'm asking and pleading every day that God change me. Because the world needs Jesus to change our hearts, minds, and lives. So righteousness is pursuing a relationship with God and living a lifestyle the way God intends. In Proverbs 12:28, we're going to wind down with this. It says, in the way of righteousness, there is life. And along that path is immortality. You know what the word life here is actually translated here? Fullness. What Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. It's the meal that satisfies. And in closing this down today, I said one of the greatest stories ever in the scripture. We don't know her name, but we know her as the woman at the well. So it may be familiar to you, but basically, I'm not reading it. I'm just going to share it real quickly as we wind this down. The disciples needed to go buy some food. They were on an errand, and there's very few times that you have where Jesus is by himself. So Jesus is there while the disciples are away, and he gets a little thirsty, so he goes over to a well. Now, what we know, it's at a time when people didn't come to the well. They would go in the mornings, and so Jesus went there, and there's a woman there. She's drawing water. She's a Samaritan woman. And Jesus says, hey, while you're getting yourself a drink up there, you mind pouring one for me? And she's shocked because, number one, Jews and Samaritans hated each other, despised each other. Major form of racism that brought into all kinds of religious connotation. So they hated each other. So why is this Jewish man talking to me as a Samaritan? But more importantly, why is this man talking to a woman? You just didn't do that in society then. And Jesus, being the amazing Lord that he is, smashes right through any kind of gender or racial barriers. Smashed it right through. And she's like, well, this is kind of weird. And Jesus is like, nah, that's not weird at all. I'm just kind of thirsty, but I tell you what, you give me this, and guess what? I'm going to give you water that you'll never thirst again. And she says, excuse me? That would be awesome. I don't have to come back here. I don't have to come back here by myself because of my lifestyle, and nobody wants to be seen with me. And so I come at a time when nobody else is here, and I got to carry this, and I don't want to carry it. I'm tired of this. Can you give me some of that so I don't have to come back here? And Jesus said, yeah, that's cool. Great, go tell your husband. She says, I don't have one. He says, that's right, you have five, and the one you're with now isn't. That's like one of those moments like, you know, you got a ring camera in my house or something, Jesus? You know, that was her book of Ecclesiastes. You know, I tried. And now he's got her attention. And she says, well, I do want that, but I know that's going to come from a guy that we've been talking about for years, and we got difference of opinions of where it's going to happen, but he's the Messiah. And we've been waiting forever, and I'm not even sure whether he's even going to show up because it's been a while. And Jesus says this, and this is the Message translation. I love this. It says, you don't have to wait any longer, and you don't have to look any further. It's me. So many of us are living life day in and day out. It's been miserable and unsatisfying, and we have... Oh, I get this. I do that. I move here. I experience this. I do that. And we go time and time again. And we keep singing that song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found. Oh, well, you know what? If I do this and if I go, I got it and still haven't found what I'm looking for. And Jesus says, hey, you don't have to wait any longer. Here I am. But God, I tried church and I didn't. They were cramming it down my throat. I didn't like what. Hey, me, not them. They don't know how to prepare me because they don't know me. Here I am. If you are in a search and you've been looking for places and you went your own way and you've been in the pig pen, come to your senses and come back to the Father. If you want bread and you want drink that will completely satisfy you, you don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to look any further. His name is Jesus. You hunger?
Yep.
Hopefully you're hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let's stand and let's worship God this last time together as a church, as we go to prayer. Lord, my prayer is for everyone in the sound of my voice to get really hungry. Get really hungry for not the stuff that we've been feasting on, not the Snickers ice creams of our lives, but God, that we'll get hungry for you. I like a good meal. I like the feeling of just knowing that I've been fed well, and like it's going to stick with me for a while and nourish me. And God, I pray that you'll restore in my life that hunger and thirst that I once had for you. That everybody in this room is just saying, Jesus, right now, I tasted, but I had so many other tastes that have gone on. And it's like somebody put too much salt in the gospel. Somebody added, you know, too much hot sauce. And you're saying, hey, come to me. Taste and see that God is good. So, Lord, wherever our book of Ecclesiastes is right at this time, I ask that you don't help us be bound to that, and you don't have us say, well, I'm going to try this and try that and try something else, because we're going to still be left wanting. May we turn to you. And so here's my thought today. There will be some people up here if you want to pray with them. And my quote altar call is simply this. That we don't have to look any further. He's right there. So, Lord, the table served. May people taste and eat and be filled from you. At this time, we're also going to receive back some of the portion of the blessings that you have given us through your tithe and our offerings. And if you are visiting with us today, you're our guest. We do not expect you to give it all. Just receive what God has for you. We invited you to, God invited you to his table and it's served up, so just eat and be filled. For everyone else who is helping supply the meal today, may you put your Holy Spirit on these gifts and multiply and use them to further your kingdom. Here, but also around the world, through our brothers and sisters in Haiti who are doing some amazing things. And we're going to share that in a little bit, in a few weeks. God, I just thank you for them and for Pastor Oog and everyone there. So Lord, here we are. Feed us, fill us in your name. Amen.
glory, my all in all. You are worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. I worship you. God, I need you now.
All right, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have an amazing week and hunger and thirst for not the stuff in this world. Remember, the dot, we put a lot of things in the dot, but the line is longer. We're going on to glory. Have a great week. God bless. Be safe and be cool out there. I'm not like cool, but like cool, all right? You can be cool too. I mean, some of us are gifted that way. But God bless. Have a great week.